Brother Laren read these this morning. That was part of his. This is what's on my heart. There's a verse in this out of the 17th chapter of Acts. And I'd ask y'all to pray for us this morning. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I have passed by and beheld your devotion and found an altar that is an interpretation to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that it is the Lord of heaven and the earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gaveth all life and breath and all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their inhabitation, and that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." And that, with the mistakes we're reading, that's reading down to the 27th verse. And like I said, Brother Laren mentioned these scriptures this morning, and this got on my heart. And I don't mind telling you, I guess it was last week, I went up there to the school and I heard Brother Barry preach, and he got on a little bit of something. I'd heard him preach at Rocky Mount a few years ago during the revival. He preached over out of the 15th chapter of Luke, I believe it is, over there where the woman had 10 pieces of silver. And she had lost one piece of that silver, and she wasn't going to give up till she found it. And he talked about the movie Sandlock that night, and how they had lost their ball, and how they wasn't going to give up till they got that ball. And he mentioned the other day, it come up again, about how if the kids had a ball and if they lost it, they wouldn't give up until they found it. They'd just keep a looking. These things got on upon my heart, and I guess I think like a child, but I don't guess I've lost my ball, but I got to thinking about something I had lost, and it was an arrow. A couple of years ago, I got back to shooting my bow, and her brother gave me a bow, and so I got to shooting, and I'd set me up a target out there, and the target was, I don't know, about yay big or something. And I was getting a little better. And, you know, you get thinking you're pretty good. And I finally got on out there about 40 or 50 yards. And I shot right over my target. Well, there went an $8 arrow. And I was, you know, just, oh, no. So I began to look for that arrow. And I looked probably an hour that day. And every time I'd go out there to shoot, when I'd get through shooting or before I'd start, I'd go look for that arrow. I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked and I kept a looking. I was aimed, bound, determined to find that arrow. And Brother Barry talked about that, and I guess about them looking for the ball. And I want to read this one, the 27th verse again. He said that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. Well, that out there, right past that target where I was shooting, there was a hillside there. And I just know, you know, it's right in this hillside. This arrow is sticking up here. I'm going to find it right here. And then I got determined, it went on, got in the woods over there. Finally, I decided it was in Brother Mark Horton's field. I even walked over there and started trying to look around that field. And I guess a month, 2 months went by, and Sheila and Easton went walking by there, and she said, Easton said, "Paul's bow." And she said, "What? Paul's bow. Papa's bow." And he was talking about Myra. And there was one tree right behind that target. One little tree. Not from here to Josh, from the target. And that arrow was stuck right in the base of it. And I looked all over the board. And that one bird was talking about that other day, and I thought, ain't that just like salvation is? When I walked right up there, this it was just like, are you blind? Why couldn't I see it? Why did it take me? Why couldn't I get there? Why couldn't I find it? It was right there. And then when I got saved, I went from the time I started going to the altar, and I was about 11 years old, and why, for 3 years I went to the altar and I couldn't find him, but he was right there. He was near to me the whole time. I was just overlooking him. He ain't hiding from us. It ain't like a game of hide and seek, and when it says seek the Lord, it ain't like he's out yonder hiding. He's right here. And what it is, we can't get ourselves in the position to be able to find him. And that's the difference. Easton, a little bit old feller, no bigger than nothing. And I know he's talking about a physical eye now, but he walking right by there and he was looking right at it at the base of the tree. And I want you to know that's where you're going to find Jesus. At the base of the cross, at the base of the tree, he's right there. He ain't out there moving around somewhere. He ain't over here or over there. He's everywhere. But listen to me. He's right there waiting for you where he paid the price for you. And you've got to go there realizing when you get to the point to realize that you're the one that's guilty. It's you that put him upon that cross. When you get to the point to realize he's the only hope you have, that's when you'll find him. So I thought about how Barry got into that and how that woman wasn't going to give up. And my prayer is for you that you'll not give up. And I promise you, once you get there, you'll look back and you'll say, how did I miss it for so long? And why did it take me so long? I want you to realize how you might need somebody to direct you. I need a little Easton to go out there and listen to me, children. It don't matter how big you are, you can point, or how little you are. If you've been saved by God's grace, you can point somebody to the cross. I want you to know that arrow was stuck right into it, just like them nails. I nailed my sins to the cross. It was put right there in that tree. Listen to me. I want you to know, once I seen it, I couldn't figure out how I'd overlooked it. How did once I got saved, why did it take me so long? I want you to know how the Bible says over in Isaiah, and I'll keep going back to Isaiah, but listen, it tells us over there, and I will go back. I'll go read my text in a minute, but I will read that one more time before I go over and read Isaiah, because it says that you should seek the Lord if haply you might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. It says he's not far from every one of us. Now listen, we go over here to Isaiah and 55. Now I've been on these scriptures for a while, but it says in the 6th verse, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's in near. Now listen, now it's saying seek him while he can be found. Call on him while he's near. While ago he said he wouldn't. Paul said he's not far from any of us. So what is going on here? I want you to know the Bible talks about preparing your heart to seek the Lord. Now I want you to realize you can't just seek the Lord. You can seek after him all you want to, but honey, God's got to be in it for you to be able to find him. I want you to know it said, seek him while he's near. God does not want you not to be able to find him. The Bible says in Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse, the goodness of God lead us to repentance. God is desire for you to be able to find him. And Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draw them. I want you to realize that's what it's meaning here when it says, seek him while he's near. Seek him while he's dealing with you. Instead of pushing him away, that's when you need to go to him. You ever see people? Oh, I was that way. There was different times that God would be dealing with me. Somebody would come to me and they'd say, "Jeff, are you lost?" I'd say, "No, sir, no, ma'am." I'd lie to them, and God dealing with me the whole time, drawing me. I want you to know that's the worst thing you could do. When God is dealing with you, He's preparing your heart to seek Him. That's the preparation for it. When God's beginning to draw you to the base of that tree, that's when you need to be paying attention. That's when you need to be going. That's a time that you can seek the Lord. And I thought about these scriptures is what come to me to go with all this, and I will try to preach on it a little bit and then we won't be long. But I want you to be saved. Church, I want us to get prepare our hearts to seek the Lord too. We need to get in a shape to seek after the Lord. And how we do that, we do it in being humble. We do it realizing that's the only place we're going to get our help. Sometimes people call me, want advice. They'll call me, want answers. Listen, I'll do the best I can. I'll pray and give you godly instruction from the Word of God. But listen to me, if you've got troubles, if you've got issues going on in your life, you don't need Jeff Likens. You need Jesus. And I want you to realize He's the only true help you'll ever find. That's the only true help I've ever been able to find. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, it says, "And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus." 18 in Matthew 18 and 1, it says, "The disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receive such a little child in my name receiveth me, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that the millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Now listen, I ain't going to get too much into this, but that's why we don't doubt children. There's one, 5, 6 year old, whatever, if they realize they're lost and they come and seek the Lord and they get up and say how they've been saved, and let them work it out. It ain't for us to tell them and to deny them of Jesus. That ain't our job. It says it would be better we'd have a milestone wrapped around our neck and put it in the depths of the sea. So let them children work it out on their own. Don't get involved. Don't tell them they are saved. Don't tell them they ain't saved. That's between them and God. But listen, He said that you'll have to be converted and come as a little child. Humble yourself. And I guess I've always just looked at that as how a little child can be humble. How they cry and call out on what they need and when they're hurting. But I want you to also know, you, as a little boy, I'm almost ashamed to tell this, but I was so scared of the dark. I don't know how old I was when I got out of it, maybe 10 year old. But finally it got to a point that started off, it was 5 of us kids, mom and daddy, my pa lived in one house, and I slept with pa a big part of the time. I guess I couldn't get used to being alone. And Pa, he passed away, and then I had to start sleeping up in a room upstairs. And it was, and I just couldn't sleep. I was scared to death. And I'd go down yonder, and I'd wait for Mom and Daddy to go to sleep. And maybe some of you done this too, but I'd go in there, and I'd crawl up beside Daddy. And when I'd get beside him, I'd feel so safe. All my fears would be gone. For you to be saved,
got to realize if you'll crawl, just as that little child, he took him up in his arms. If you'll crawl up in his arms, you'll find safety. You've got to come as a little child, realizing that your heart is broke. All that old fear that you've got, he's able to just take that and it'll all be just gone. You can find peace in Jesus. It ain't just like being humble enough to cry a tear. Tears never saved nobody. You can cry. I tried crying. I thought about my pa dying and my daddy knelt beside his bed. Listen to me, I cried, but it didn't save me. When I thought that I knew that, not thought that I knew I was guilty. I knew my hell was going to be in hell. And I knew the only place of refuge and safety was going to be in Jesus. And I want you to know, I went to him. I told y'all the story about the time when I put the old truck in gear. I cranked the old truck in gear. I forgot to check it. Old truck took off and nearly run over Granny. And hey, Isaac, listen to me. Daddy got that truck stopped. He whooped me. I want you to know it broke my heart. But then after I went and fell down and he and my daddy come over there. And I said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He took me up in his arms and he made it all right. I always felt safety in my father. I still miss him today because of that. When something would tear up, I'd go in there and call 644-2705, and on the other end was my answer. I'd say, Daddy, water heater's messed up, and how do I need to test to see? I'll be down there in a minute. Here he'd come. I'd say, well, Daddy, I need to learn how. Here, I'll do it. He didn't want me to get shocked. He knew I wouldn't. Here, I'll do it. You get back. And he'd test it, and he'd tell me what's wrong. I'd go to town and get it. He'd fix it for me. Can't call him no more. But I got a Heavenly Father that's helping me try to learn to trust in him, and he's helping me be able to do things. But listen, if you'll go to him, he'll take you up in his arms. He's not far from any of us. Now what that means, this building don't hold him. We've done proved that. You can't build no temple to hold him. He's everywhere. But what you must do is seek him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And the only time you can do that is when he's dealing with you. So, just like I would do, when that happens, instead of pushing away from him, crawl up next to him. Go and just lay it all down right there at the base of the tree. And you will find him there. He'll be right there. You may have overlooked him time and time again, but the first time you're honest and being truthful and you surrender completely to him and just let him take it, he'll just take you in his arms. I don't know why we get peace, but I wonder if that ain't what it is. We just crawled up in his lap. And it's so peaceful in the arms of the Lord. Y'all remember that song when Lord John used to sing? It's so peaceful in the arms of the Lord when you go and trust in him and he just takes you up. And then all the troubles go. And you have peace with God. He's not that hard to find. just come his way. He don't have a lot of requirements. Ashley, I remember her telling me the night she got saved. She said, I don't want to live this way anymore. Are you tired of living this way? Are you tired of laying down at night and wondering where you're going to lift your eyes? You can go crawl in the bed with Mama, Daddy, Pa, brother or sister. I want you to know they might give you some temporary relief, but they can't give you the peace I'm talking about. After I got saved, y'all heard me talk about walking the Rocky Mountain. And I'm telling you, I was 14 years old when I finally got saved. Before that, I was still scared. I'm just being honest with you. I'd leave out walking 9 or 10 o'clock from the revival. I'd get up from the altar, go down to the store, get my ski and peanuts, and I'd head out walking. And when I got out from the lights from that Rocky Mountain store, I started getting in a hurry trying to get home. The night I got saved, I don't even know if I got a ski to pee. I just remember going home and I never run. I walked, I took the long way, I didn't cut across the field. I had peace. For the first time in my life, I truly knew what peace was. So feel for it. I've lost arrows before. I don't know. I bet Larry has. If I get down to a point, I take my shoes off and get out there and start doing this with my feet. And finally, you'll step on it and you'll feel it. You'll say, there it is. That's what salvation is. You'll feel it. You'll know when you found it. You won't need, they raise up here and they'll look up at me and they want me to say they're all right. I can't tell them they're all right. You will know when you found it. Amen. And when you get there, you will feel it. Amen. And then you'll wonder, how did I miss it? How did I overlook this? But you got to come as a child. Not in the, like Easton was, where you had a better view down yonder. But a spiritual view, realizing that's where your comfort's going to come from. That's where your help's going to come from. And don't quit looking till you get it. Because when you get there, you'll know it. And then you'll wonder. My wife was one of the lucky ones. She realized she's lost and she got saved the same night. Jeannie realized she's lost, got saved the same night. Maggie realized she's lost, got saved the same night. I'm glad they didn't take after their daddy. It seems like I've always been the slow one. But once I found it, I knew I'd got there. It was all gone. I had peace. Amen. It's never left me. I ain't going to tell you I ain't been scared since then. I have been. I'd be a liar to say I wouldn't. But not scared of dying. Amen. Not scared of where I was going. I lay down in bed at night, and if I quit breathing through the night, I know where I'm going to lift my eyes up. And it's going to be with him. I'm going to, just as Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, I believe the Lord is going to send angels come to get me. And I believe he's going to take me up there and I'm going to be placed in the arms of the Lord. Amen. For the peace I had that night at Rocky Mountain is going to last me eternity. You can have that tonight or today if you'll come as a child. Seek him while he may be found. He's near today. I can feel him. I brought him with me. He's all around us. Is your heart prepared today to find him? Are you tired of pushing? Are you tired of running away? Don't push him away. Go to him. Goodness of God leads you to repentance. If God is dealing with you today, go to him. If we start this revival and Brother TJ's preaching Friday night and God goes to dealing with you, don't wait for him to give an altar call. Amen. Go to him then. If God's dealing with you now, amen, don't wait for an altar call. Go to him. He's near. And that's what he meant over in Isaiah. He said, seek him while he's near. He's drawing. I'm so thankful tonight I got saved. And you say, will you tell us about this over and over? I'm going to tell you something. Yours means something to you and mine means something to me. But it finally got to the point that he brought me down to a place that I knew I had to have him. I wanted him more than a ski. I wanted him more than peanuts. I wanted him more than mom and daddy. I wanted him more than brother and sister. I wanted him more than life itself. Amen. If I died that night on that second pew at Rocky Mount, and if right after he gave me peace, it would have been worth falling down there and giving it to him. You got to want him more than anything. Amen. So go to him as a child. Go to him realizing you need the Lord more than anything. And if you'll do that, he'll save you. I promise you that. You say, Brother Jeff, you can't promise. I can, by the word of God, says all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you go to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit while he's dealing with you and put your trust in him, he will save you. That's going to approaching the throne of grace boldly. You've got to believe that. Go to him. I told you about over in Romans chapter 8 where it says we're saved by hope. Confidence. That's what the hope means. You've got to believe he's going to save you. If you got confidence, that's faith. You go to him believing that he'll save you, and he will. You keep going believing you're going to make another trip up there and it's going to end the same way it did the last time. Guess what? It will. But when you get to the point that you want him more than anything and you're not going to leave, give up until you get it, guess what? You're fixing to get it. No matter how much we want it for you, you're going to have to want it yourself. So prepare your heart to seek the Lord. That's what I thought about preaching on. I can't get away from it. But listen, you need to seek him while he's near. I'm thankful today that I've got tons and tons of regrets. But I'm thankful that's one that I don't have to say I regret. I've never regretted seeking the Lord. I've never regretted witnessing for the Lord. You say, well, Brother Jeff, you get up there and you act like a big crybaby. I've never regretted one tip that I've cried for him. I've never regretted one hour that I stayed up looking at this book. I've never regretted coming to know him. Because listen, friends may go, mom and daddy's going to go, brothers and sisters is going to go, but he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I can call 644-2705 all I want to. It ain't going to do me no good no more. But boy, when I call on him, he's always there. And I promise you, he'll be there for you today. So call on the name of the Lord. Don't, One thing this revival making has proved to me, we don't need to give up hope. We don't need to think it don't do no good. It does do good.
Amen.
Keep sowing the seed. Keep witnessing.
Amen.
Keep testifying for Jesus. And you'll never regret that. So today, Paul told them there on Mars Hill, Brother Larry told us today, they was worshiping false gods, and he went there and told them he was going to prove to them who they fought or ignorantly worshipped, who he was. Today, the foot of the cross is what you're looking for. It's at the bottom of the tree. I don't know where all you've been looking for it, but it's right there. And as soon as you're willing to go to the bottom of the tree and humble yourself as a little child and realize that that's the only place you're going to get any help from, as soon as you're willing to do that, he'll be right there. And your sins will be nailed right there. And you'll say, how did I overlook that all this time? He's right there. He's not moved. I look for him in the woods. I look for the arrow in the grass. Even look for him over my neighbors. But it was at the base of the tree. That's where you're going to find him. At the base of the tree. Where are you looking? I don't know. I look for him in my daddy's tears beside my pa's bed when he died. I didn't find him there. I found out later that was worldly sorrow and it worketh death. But godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. When I got to where I wanted him more than I wanted anything else, I found him. And he knows that.
Amen.
He knows what you want. He knows if you're ashamed to call on him. He knows if you're ashamed to come to an altar. And if you're going to think you're going to find him, as long as you're ashamed of him, you're going to have a hard time getting there. But as soon as you become as a little child, just humble yourself as a little child, he'll be right there. He'll be right there. And he'll wrap his arm around you. And you'll have peace. Are you lost today? It's that simple. Are you lost? You say, well, how do I know? You'll know.
Amen.
You'll know when you're lost and you'll know when you're saved. That ain't my job to tell you. But if God is dealing with you and you realize you're lost, right now would be a good time to go to the base of that tree and you'll find him right there. That's my little message. And I know it's been scattered. You don't know how scattered my little brain's been. And I pray I don't go home. I told her last night, I said, you don't know what it's like. We'll never get this hour back. This time was allotted. Y'all've called me here. He's called me to preach. And this time and space has been allotted. I sure don't want to waste it. How about you? Don't waste it. Don't waste it. I love you. I want you to be saved. I want you to know what it's like to crawl up in his arms.
Amen.
Find peace. Go ahead with your song.